Anyone who, in this life, or Atma Sambhavanina, by false prestige, Swayam himself, Adammaha, very degraded, Janma, good birth, Tapakha, austerities, Vidya, knowledge, Achara,
good behavior,
Varna Ashramavataha, in terms of strictly following the principles of Varnashrama. Variyasaha,
of one who is more honorable.
Not. Vahu,
much.
Manyeta,
respects.
Saha,
he.
Bittakaha,
a dead body.
Eva,
only.
Mritva,
after dying.
Sharakardame,
name Sharakardama.
Nidahi,
in the hell.
Avakshira,
with his head downward.
Nipatitaha,
throne.
Durantayatanaha,
severe painful conditions.
Indeed.
Ashnute,
suffers.
Translation.
A low-born and abominable person who in this life becomes falsely proud, thinking, I am great, and who thus fails to show proper respect to one more elevated than he by birth, austerity, education, behavior, caste, or spiritual order, is like a dead man even in this lifetime, and after death is thrown headfirst into the hell known as Sharakaradama. There he must suffer great tribulations at the hands of the agents of Yamaraj. A purport by Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Vijay. One should not become falsely proud. One must be respectful towards a person more elevated than he by birth, education, behavior, caste, or spiritual order. If one does not show respect to such highly elevated persons but indulges in false pride, he receives punishment in Sharakaradama. So I'm just going to go ahead. This is a very short purport. So text 31.
Yetweha vai purusha purusha medena yajante ascha striyo ripashun kadanti tams jate pashava ivani hotta yamasadane yatayanto raksho ganaha sondika ivasvadit dittina vadaya skrik pivantin rit Chinti cha gayanti cha vishyavana yateha purushadaha. There are men and women in this world who sacrifice human beings to Bhairava or Bhadrakali and then eat the victim's flesh. Those who perform such sacrifices are taken after death to the abode of Yamaraj, where their victims, having taken the form of rakshasas, cut them to pieces with sharpened swords, just as in this world the man-eaters drank their victims' blood, dancing and singing in jubilation. Their victims now enjoy drinking the blood of the sacrificers and celebrating in the same way. Sounds like modern music. Text 32.
Yetvahava anagasoranjai gramecha vaishrambakar upaskritan
upavishram vaya jijivishun shura sutra dishupa protan kredana kataya yatayanti te picha prichayama yatana su shuladishu protatmana shutrivyam chavihataha kankavatavishetastatas tigmatunda ahanyamana atma samalam smarante.
So in this life, some people give shelter to animals and birds that come to them for protection in the village or forest, and after making them believe that they will be protected, such people pierce them with lances and threads and play with them like toys, giving them great pain. After death, such people are brought by the assistance of Yamaraj to the hell known as Shulaprota, where their bodies are pierced with sharp, needle-like lances. They suffer from hunger and thirst, and sharp-beaked birds, such as vultures and herons, come at them from all sides to tear at their bodies. Tortured and suffering, they can then remember the sinful activities they committed in the past. Sounds like something they do in Cuba. Does anyone know what that is called? It's called, like, cockfighting. They have the chickens, like bite each other.
Yeah, they do that in Venezuela.
And people bet on that and everything like that. What? All right. Don't talk about that one. So, text 33.
Ye tviha vai bhutanu avijayanti naral vanas vabhava yata danda shukas te pi precha narake danda shukakye nipatanti yatra nipa danda shuka panchamukha saptamukha pasrishritya grasanti yata Vileshayan.
Those who in this life are like envious serpents, always angry and giving pain to other living entities, fall after death into the hell known as Dandashuka. That means the lamentation of being hit. So, my dear king, in this hell, there are serpents with 5 or 7 hoods. These serpents eat such sinful persons just as snakes eat mice. Oh my God. It's reminded me when I was all at these places. So text 34.
Ye trihava andavata kushula gahadishu guhadishu bhutani rundante tatamutrateshvo evo pavesha sagarena vannina dumena nirundante.
Those who in this life can find other living entities in dark wells, granaries, or mountain caves are put after death into the hell known as Avata Nirodhana. There they themselves are pushed into dark wells where poisonous fumes and smoke suffocate them, and they suffer very severely. And finally, text 35.
Yastvihava atitinabhyagatan vagraha patira sakrit upagata manjur didakshuriva papena chakshusha nirikshate tasya chappi nirahye papadrishtair akshani vajatunda gridra kankakaka vatadaya Prasayuru Balad Utpatayanti.
A householder who receives guests or visitors with cruel glances, as if to burn them to ashes, is put into the hell called Kariyavartana, where he is gazed at by hard-eyed vultures, herons, crows, and similar birds, which suddenly swoop down and pluck out his eyes with great force. So, purport, thine grace, Srila Prabhupada. According to the Vedic etiquette, even an enemy who comes to a householder's home should be received in such a gentle way that he forgets that he has come to the home of an enemy. A guest who comes to one's home should be received very politely. If he is unwanted, the householder should not stare at him with blinking eyes. For one who does so will be put into the hell known as Pariyavartana after death. And there are many ferocious birds like vultures, crows, and cockneys. I don't know what that is. That's how the British speak. And cockney. Well, suddenly, I don't know what type of bird that is. What's a cockneys will suddenly come upon him and pluck out his eyes. Alright, so Omagana Timidandasha Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur on Miritam Yenitasmai Shikarabe Namaha. So this last verse is quite interesting. I mean, they're all interesting, but they bring a lot of compassion and pain into my heart to hear about all these things, as they're bringing into the heart of Parikshit Maharaj when he's hearing about all these different tortures. And ultimately, in the next canto, the sixth canto, he tries to solve this whole problem of people being tortured by the Yamadutas. So this particular verse is interesting because it reflects a very important part of Vedic society, which is hospitality. And we remember when Prabhupada was giving instructions to people when they were getting married. And generally, when people get married, they think that they've entered the candy store. It's not exactly the candy store. I guess it's like Hansel and Gretel's candy store. So anyway, so they think that they've entered the candy store. They can enjoy like anything. It's a license. Like Prabhupada said, grihastha life is a license for sense gratification. And it's interesting, when you're given a license to drive a car, it's not that you're given a license to drive 95 miles an hour. You're given a license to follow the rules and regulations. It's not an unlimited license. Unless you happen to be the police, then you can drive very fast. So a household life is like that. You're given a license for a certain type of sense gratification. But at the same time, there's other rules you got to follow. And one of those rules, of course, is the rule of hospitality. And there's an interesting expression, Atithi Narayan, which means a guest that comes without any appointment. Now, it's one thing, you have a guest with an appointment, you get dressed up, you prepare the dinner and everything like that. But a guest that comes without an appointment is particularly aggravating, because you've just prepared your own dinner and then the guest comes and there's not enough for both of you. So you have to give practically all of it to the guest. So this is a very important principle. So when Prabhupada was advising devotees who were getting married, and the devotees were asking pretty much about the license for sense gratification, you know, how fast can we go, Prabhupada? So just like you see, so when people first get their driver's license, they generally speed. I mean, at least we did when we were young. We would have races at every stoplight. You understand? Every time you stop for a stoplight. Of course, in India, it's not a problem because you don't stop for the stoplights. You just keep on going. But we would rev up the engine, looking at our friend who was driving a car right next door. And then when the stoplight on the other, in the cross direction, turned yellow, that means it was getting ready to turn red for them, then you get... And then as soon as it turns green, you just meow, and you do wheelies or something like that. And then whoever wins. And then I remember when I first got a driver's license, and all my friends, we were just bragging about, you know, how many cylinders our car had, how many cc's, like in the cylinders, that cc's means cubic centimeters, that's how you measure it. How many horsepower, you know, this is one of the boys' main topics of discussion. How many horsepower, I have a Pontiac, whatever it is, you know, I forget the type of car. And anyway, so there was great competition, but that was a violation of the terms of the license. So in the same way, someone, when they get married, sometimes because they're so much into sense gratification, they violate the license for sense gratification. So one of the terms is that if anyone comes to your house, you have to treat them like Narayan, like a guest, a special guest, even if they're coming uninvited, and even if there's no food left for you. And not only that, Prabhupada said, you have to go out and beg for guests to come. Not only do you have to receive a guest, but Prabhupada said when he was asked by the devotees, when they were inquiring about their license for sense gratification, Prabhupada said that you should go out and cry out, if anyone's hungry, please let them come eat, you know, three or four times. And anyone who comes, you have to feed them. Now in India, in America, it's not going to really be effective. You know, I could go in the street and yell, if anyone's hungry, please let them come eat. And they'll say, well, all you have is vegetables, we're not coming. But in India, you know, there were people who were hungry. And so that's the devotee's duty. And of course, Prabhupada showed this principle to the highest degree when he was in Mayapur. And the devotees were, of course, the devotees ate prasadam. And what happened is that they threw their leaf plates away in a pile, and the dogs and the little children were fighting for the whatever little scraps of food were left. And the leaf plates are actually licking the leaf plates to try to get little scraps of food. And Prabhupada actually started crying. And Prabhupada said, anyone within 10 miles of our Mayapur, Chandradaya Mandir, should not go hungry. And that's when we started it. Not we, but when, you know, we always use this term we. That's when, which is funny. You know you're a Hare Krishna when you're always using the term we. Instead of I, you know, it's funny. I mean, like, when I talked to my mother, I said, we are coming here. And, you know, my mother says, who's coming with you? I said, oh, just me. So why are you saying we? So when Prabhupada started this, you know, Hare Krishna food distribution, you know, food for life or whatever you may call it, and Prabhupada immediately had them erect this big prasadam pavilion at the far end of our Mayapur project. And then the guests were invited to come, and so many hundreds or thousands of guests were fed every day with khichdi, of course, which is the Bengali food. And so this was very, very nice. You know, Prabhupada really wanted prasadam distribution on a large scale, and even to poor people. Of course, Prabhupada also said we shouldn't distinguish. It's not that we call people Daridra Narayans. Daridra Narayan means like a poor Narayan. You know, some people are interested only in charitable activity. They just want to help the poor people. But we understand in Krishna consciousness that everybody in the world is poor. Even the wealthiest businessman, you know, multi-billionaire, is poor because he doesn't have Krishna consciousness. And one who has Krishna consciousness is rich because he has Krishna. Anyway, so Prabhupada started this, and Prabhupada instructed the grahasthas to be merciful in the same way. And Prabhupada gave the example of his father, who would always have guests over the house, and particularly he would have sadhus. And even many of the sadhus were bogus sadhus. And still, Prabhupada's father gave them great hospitality, up to the point of even buying them ganja. I mean, that was the... Of course, I'm not saying that if someone comes to our house and they want ganja. I mean, sometimes I go to people's houses and they offer me the seeds of ganja. Anyway. Hemp seeds. Hemp seeds. And, you know, of course I look around, make sure no one's watching, and I eat the hemp seeds. So You know, Prabhupada said these sadhus would come to his house and they would say, please get us some ganja. And Prabhupada's father would go to the ganja market, or, you know, anyway, you didn't even need a market in India. You just go to the nearest vacant lot and pick your own ganja. It's like in America, you know, we have this, when it's berry season, you know, pick your own. So in India, when it's ganja season, they have pick your own ganja. So, at least in UP, it grows everywhere. I don't know about South. By the side of the road and everything. I mean, actually, many herbs grow. Even this Brahmi grows right by the side of the road, Gotakula, by the side of the road in India. Anyway, so that was the extent of the hospitality, whatever the guests would ask for. And even there's even that story of Bilba Mangal Thakur, which is a really interesting story, because Bilba Mangal Thakur tried to become a renunciate when Chintamani, his girlfriend, actually called a prostitute. But Prabhupada said, girlfriends in America, in India we call prostitutes. Because nowadays it's different. Nowadays in India, you know, boyfriends, girlfriends, it's, you know, everything's the same as the West, especially in the big cities. But in the old days, you know, the ladies would be chaste. Now the ladies are chasing instead of being chased. Understand the difference? Chasing, being chased. They're chasing the men, you know, which is completely different than being chased. So anyway, getting back to the story of Bilba Mangal Thakur. Bilba Mangal Thakur, he renounced everything because his prostitute girlfriend, Chintamani, told him after he had undergone a great austerity to see her one night when it was storming and all that other nice stuff. You probably do a play about Bilba Mangal Thakur, right? I'm sure he does. That would be nice to see. So she told him, you know, if you had as much love for Krishna and determination to serve Krishna, he'd be a pure devotee. And Bilba Mangal Thakur said, yeah, that's all right. But that's not the reason I'm telling the story. That later on, as he was going towards Vrindavan, he came to the house of a Brahmin. Bilba Mangal Thakur was also a Brahmin, and a Brahmini, the Brahmin's wife. And the Brahmin's wife was gorgeous. You know, she was like a trophy wife. And so he looked at the Brahmin's wife, and he said to the Brahmin who had received him, this is the hospitality, please let me be alone with your wife. Now, I'm not saying we should follow that type of hospitality. You know, someone comes to your home and says, please let me be with your wife. We shouldn't allow that, obviously. But anyway, so this Brahmin was so liberal, he said, oh, okay. And then he basically even gave his wife to, he gave his wife to Bilba Mangal Thakur. And Bilba Mangal Thakur actually had this realization, this is not the way to go. And he said to this lady, you know, please give Mataji, you know, that's the first thing he said. Because Mataji, when you call Lady Mataji, it means mother. And that basically means, you know, it sort of like diffuses whatever other relationship could be there. Also, sometimes it may make the woman as angry as hell. Like in the story of Urvasi, when Arjuna was approached by Urvasi in the heavenly planets, and Urvasi said, Arjuna, you are so handsome. Look at your muscles. And she tried to touch his muscles. You know. And he says, Mataji. And she got so angry she cursed him to become a eunuch, which was helpful for him later on. So when the Pandavas were in exile. Anyway, so Bilba Mangal Thakur said to this lady, you know, Mataji, and then he said, give me your hair pin. And so she took the pin out of her hair, and he just plucked his eye, you know, just put the pin in his eye so he was blind from that point forward. So the reason I told that story is it illustrates the type of hospitality that was there in the Vedic culture. That if someone asked for something, you would give it, no matter what it was. Amazing. Amazing. And of course, sometimes you have personalities like Durvasa Muni who would test your tolerance. You know, Durvasa Muni, you would cook for him all day long, bring him the food, and he would say, I'm not hungry right now. Take it away. And then in the middle of the night, he would wake up and say, where's the food? And you bring him the, you know, leftovers. And he said, no, I want fresh food. And so you have to start cooking in the middle of the night for this sage, or else if he got so angry, I mean, you would burn your family and the village and everything to ashes by his anger. Even there's some stories about how he visited Krishna in Rukmini. And I don't know if I should tell this story. It's not a nice story. No, I won't tell this story. How he actually practically tortured Krishna and Rukmini and testing their hospitality. I mean, there's so many stories about this Durvasa. And, of course, the most famous story in the Mahabharata is the story of how Kunti Devi served Durvasa Muni so nicely, you know, prepared food for him in the middle of the night. And as a result, she got that benediction that she could have this mantra that whatever demigod she called for, the demigod would come there. And of course, the first demigod she called for was the sun god, and as a result, Karna was born. So, but she was the epitome of hospitality. And there's many other examples, too, in the Vedic literature about hospitality. I think there's one interesting story I wanted to tell about hospitality. That before, this is all started from the Mahabharata. During the Rajasuya sacrifice, I'm sorry, it was the Ashwamedha sacrifice, not the Rajasuya. Rajasuya can only be performed once, and it was done by Maharaj Yudhisthira before the Battle of Kurukshetra. So after the Battle of Kurukshetra, Maharaj Yudhisthira wanted to perform the Ashwamedha sacrifice to sort of repent for all the what he thought were sins that were committed by the killings that went on in the Battle of Kurukshetra. So, anyway, so part of the Ashwamedha sacrifice is you feed the Brahmins. And there were a lot of Brahmins being fed. And Maharaj Yudhisthira, he thought, oh boy, I am the most hospitable, you know, merciful. You know, he started to get a little proud there. Thinking, you know, I'm feeding all these Brahmins. No one has ever seen a sacrifice like that before. So Krishna was thinking, Maharaj Yudhisthira has become proud of his hospitality. So what should we do about it? We got to teach him a lesson. Okay. So then, after the Brahmins had eaten and before things had been cleaned up, all of a sudden they were looking and there was a mongoose who appeared there who was half gold. And the mongoose, you know, started to eat some of the remnants and rolled around a little bit in the food, you know, a little messy for his fur. And the mongoose said out loud, somehow or other, there's a talking mongoose. Mongoose Uvacha. This would be a nice play. The mongoose said, this is not such a good sacrifice, you know. I've been to much better sacrifices. And then, you know, talking mongoose. And Maharaj Yudhisthira, he was surprised. You're talking mongoose, first of all. Second of all, why is he criticizing my sacrifice? You know, this is a wonderful sacrifice. And the mongoose said, you know, this is like 10th class. 10th class sacrifice, and your hospitality is 10th class. And they were asking you, what? What do you mean by that? And the mongoose said, I'll tell you a story. Once upon a time, there was a Brahmin. And this Brahmin, of course, he took care of his family, following the Brahminical principles. And at that time, there was a famine. And the Brahmin had nothing to eat. So somehow or other, he went out and he gathered just like a little palm full of grains. And he cooked like oat water, like we used to eat in New Vrindavan in the early days. It's interesting. In the early days of New Vrindavan, when I went there in 1971 or 72, then breakfast was not oats, but oat water. And it was made from horse oats. They didn't even want to pay for people oats. You know what I'm saying? Horse oats, the oats that they used to feed horses. Because it was real cheap and had a lot of nice stones in it. So he made a little bit of, you know, oat water for himself, or, you know, grain water, whatever oat grains they were cooking. And he got ready, you know, divided up the oat water, whatever, and his family was getting ready to eat. And so then what happened is someone came in and said, "I'm hungry." It was actually Yom Rosh who came in. He came in and said, "I'm hungry," and the Brahmin gave his food away to this Brahmin guest. And then the Brahmin guest said, "I'm still hungry." And so the wife gave her food away. And then finally the children gave their food away to the Brahmin guest. You know, everything was given to the guest. And then the Brahmin guest was satisfied. And of course, I believe it was Yamaraj or something was testing him. And then the mongoose said, then after that, when they all left the room, there's a little bit of left on the floor. And so he rolled in that, and his fur became gold, half golden. And he said, "This is wonderful." So then he went to Maharaj Yudhisthira's sacrifice. He rolled in everything, and nothing turned golden. And he said, "Your sacrifice is not even as good as this person's sacrifice, this person's hospitality or sacrifice." And therefore, Maharaj Yudhisthira became a little humbled at that point. Because even if one is so exalted like Maharaj Yudhisthira, there's a tendency towards false pride when you have opulence. You know, opulence sort of bewilders you. This was also mentioned in the story of Manigriva and Nalakuvara, who were the sons of Kuvera, that their opulence went to their head, and therefore they did illicit activity or didn't cover themselves up properly when Narada Muni was there. They became very proud. So we have to be very careful of opulence. In any case, that was a story of hospitality. There's other stories of hospitality, many stories of how important hospitality is in the Vedic literatures. There's the story of Rantidev, the great king Rantidev. Rantidev was fasting for 48 days. Actually, the story is that there was actually a famine in his kingdom. So there really wasn't enough food. So he was fasting for 48 days. And then it got time for him to break the fast. Okay, so he thought, you know, Shavira, Vijaja, Jatindriya, Dehikala, like that. He said the Prashadam prayer, divided, gave his family something. And then a Brahmin comes and says, "I'm hungry." And so Rantidev, without blinking his eyes, like it's inscribed here, blinking eyes, isn't it? What's that? Well, it says blinking here. It says, if he is unwanted, the householder should not stare at him with blinking eyes. Prabhupada says in the purport. Blinking eyes means you can stare and blink at the same time. Like that. You understand? Because if you just stare, it's just weird. Nobody just stares. You know, unless you seem like a beautiful girl or handsome man, then you stare. But blinking, you stare with blinking eyes means that you're upset at someone. Like that.
Trying to make them disappear.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know why it's a physiological response. When you're really angry with someone, you don't just go like that. You stare with blinking eyes. Anyway, yeah. So this, it's true. I've seen it. So Rantidev, you know, he didn't stare with blinking eyes. He just said, you know, "Here's the food." Okay, very nice. And then after that, he thought, well, I gave him part of my food. There's still something left for me. And then a Shudra came. And he actually gave more of the food to the Shudra. And then finally all the food went to a man, a Chandala, who had dogs. You understand? A man who had dogs. And then finally you know, to add insult to injury, then another Chandala came. It was actually a shooter with dogs. And then a Chandala came, and Chandala said, "I'm thirsty." So then Ranti Dev said, "Well, here's my water." You know, that was the hospitality he had. And then he said something very interesting. The story's in the 9th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 21. He said, "By giving this to you, I've conquered hunger, thirst, lamentation, and illusion," which is really amazing. Because by giving something to others, by being charitable, merciful, and everything like that, one can conquer their senses. One can control their senses. And actually, conquer the Supreme Personality of Godhead, too. If you do it in a Krishna conscious way. Obviously, if you give charity the motive of ignorance, like you give meat to someone, you don't conquer Krishna. But by charity, by self-sacrifice, and so that, if we do that in preaching Krishna consciousness, then we can actually conquer the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, on that happy note, nobody will eat this morning. People are so attached to eating that whenever I mention diet, people get nervous and kicking out of their houses.